"Well, there you are," said Bagman. "You have each pulled out the dragon you will face, and the numbers refer to the order in which you are to take on the dragons, do you see? Now, I'm going to have to leave you in a moment because I'm commentating. Mr. Diggory, you're first. Just go out into the enclosure when you hear the whistle, all right? Now, Harry, could I have a quick word outside?" Yes," said Harry blankly, and he got up and went out of the tent with Bagman, who walked him a short distance away into the trees and then turned to him with a fatherly expression on his face. "Feeling all right, Harry? Anything I can get you?"
"What?" said Harry.
No, nothing."
"Got a plan?"
said Bagman, lowering his voice conspiratorially.
"Because I don't mind sharing a few pointers, if you'd like them, you know. I mean,"
Bagman continued, lowering his voice still further,
"you're the underdog here, Harry. Anything I can do to help?"
"No," said Harry so quickly he knew he had sounded rude. "No, I know what I'm going to do. Thanks."
"Nobody would know, Harry,"
said Bagman, winking at him. "No, I'm fine," said Harry, wondering why he kept telling people this, and wondering whether he had ever been less fine. "I've got a plan worked out. A whistle had blown somewhere.
"Good Lord, I've got to run,"
said Bagman in alarm, and he hurried off. Harry walked back to the tent and saw Cedric emerging from it, greener than ever. Harry tried to wish him luck as he walked past, but all that came out of his mouth was a sort of hoarse grunt. Harry went back inside to Fleur and Crumb. Seconds later they heard the roar of the crowd, which meant Cedric had entered the enclosure and was now face to face with the living counterpart of his model. It was worse than Harry could ever have imagined. Sitting there and listening, the crowd screamed, yelled, gasped like a single many-headed entity as Cedric did whatever he was doing to get past the Swedish short snout. Crumb was still staring at the ground. Fleur had now taken to retracing Cedric's steps around and around the tent, and Bagman's commentary made everything much, much worse. Horrible pictures formed in Harry's mind as he heard,
"Ooh, narrow miss there, very narrow. He's taking risks, this one. Clever move. Pity it didn't work."
And then, after about 15 minutes, Harry heard the deafening roar that could mean only one thing. Cedric had gotten past his dragon and captured the golden egg.
"Very good indeed," Bagman was shouting. "And now the marks from the judges."
But he didn't shout out the marks. Harry supposed the judges were holding them up and showing them to the crowd.
"One down, three to go,"
Bagman yelled as the whistle blew again.
"Miss Delacour, if you please."
Fleur was trembling from head to foot. Harry felt more warmly toward her than he had done so far as she left the tent with her head held high and her hand clutching her wand. He and Crumb were left alone, at opposite sides of the tent, avoiding each other's gaze. The same process started again.
"Oh, I'm not sure that was wise,"
they could hear Bagman shouting gleefully.
"Oh, nearly! Careful now! Good Lord! I thought she'd had it then."
10 minutes later, Harry heard the crowd erupt into applause once more. Fleur must have been successful, too. A pause while Fleur's marks were being shown, more clapping, then, for the third time, the whistle.
"And here comes Mr. Crumb," cried Bagman,
and Crumb slouched out, leaving Harry quite alone. He felt much more aware of his body than usual, very aware of the way his heart was pumping fast and his fingers tingling with fear. Yet, at the same time, he seemed to be outside himself, seeing the walls of the tent and hearing the crowd as though from far away.
"Very daring,"
Bagman was yelling, and Harry heard the Chinese fireball emit a horrible roaring shriek while the crowd drew its collective breath.
"That's some nerve he's showing, and yes, he's got the egg!"
Applause shattered the wintry air like breaking glass. Crumb had finished. It would be Harry's turn any moment. He stood up, noticing dimly that his legs seemed to be made of marshmallow. He waited, and then he heard the whistle blow. He walked out through the entrance of the tent, the panic rising into a crescendo inside him, and now he was walking past the trees through a gap in the enclosure fence.